Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Soul Seekers podcast, where we believe that hunting has the power to transform lives through primal adventure as we share our mission of mentorship is conservation. To learn more about everything we do, check out our show on Carbon TV or go to soulseekersnation.com. Freedom on, everybody, and stay soulful. If you want to take your shooting experience to the next level, then check out Coltac gear for 100% made in America products. Coltac manufactures specialty gear designed for long-range shooting, hunting, and other tactical applications. From their support bags, suppressor covers, shooting mats, and a whole lot more, Coltac is creating tough, durable, and innovative gear for both civilian and professional markets. Go to Coltac.com to see all that they have to offer. That's Coltac.com. If you are looking to get a new rifle or build your own, look no further than Kelbley's. Kelbley's actions and rifles have a higher level of accuracy and hold 92 world records set on either one of their rifles or rifle actions. Whether you're looking for an ultralight mountain rifle or wanting to compete in precision rifle shooting, Kelbley's has you covered. Go to Kelbley.com to find out more or give them a call as their customer service is the best. That's Kelbley.com. Kelbley's. If you're looking to take your hunting to another level, there's no better way to do it than by subscribing to Onyx Hunt. If you want to get better at hunting and go deeper into your scouting, Onyx is the number one GPS app for that. Join the millions of hunters who trust Onyx Hunt to find more game, discover new access, and hunt smarter. If you want to know more about Onyx, go to onyxmaps.com/hunt or download their app today for a free trial. If you are wanting to become more accurate and deadly with your shooting, one of the best things you can do is upgrade your trigger with a Timney. Timney triggers are 100% made in America and have been since their founding, providing a crisp, reliable, and repeatable trigger break every time. I'll be shooting Timney triggers in my guns this year, and I hope you'll join me in shooting the world's finest trigger. Go to TimneyTriggers.com to get yours today. All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Soul Seekers podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack, and today's episode is all about how to talk about hunting and why it's important. Over the last 10 years of becoming a hunter and being an ambassador for hunting and all this, I have dove into multiple times in my life where I've been surrounded by people who don't know much about hunting, are unfamiliar with it, have skewed opinions of it, and notice I use the term opinion, not perspective. And that is simply because perspectives are built upon experiences. Everyone has an opinion. Very few people have perspectives, and perspectives come through experiences. And in order for you to have an experience, you got to have courage and an open mind and a willingness to try and expand new things. It takes courage. So today's episode is all about how to talk about hunting and why it's important. Here at Soul Seekers, we are constantly on the forefront of spreading our mission of mentorship is conservation. If you want hunting to last for generations to come, then you got to invest in the hearts and lives of other people. Well, if we don't know how to talk about hunting and why it's important, then how are we going to invest in the lives of other people to transform their lives through primal adventure that hunting provides? So today's episode is all about that. And so we're going to be diving in to this. And this is a seminar that I've been working on developing to present. And I thought I'd just, you know, release it out to the mass. So if you cannot attend the seminar, you'll be able to hear it on today's episode. So first off, I just want to say it starts with us. If you're already listening to this episode or this podcast, you are already intrigued, whether you are a hunter, a veteran hunter, a brand new hunter, someone who's thinking about becoming a hunter, you're hunt curious, you might want to just know more about it. It starts with us. Exercise your rights. This country was founded upon the ideals that we are born with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The ability to promote and defend our hunting heritage and our ability to choose how we feed ourselves is an inalienable right that we need to promote and defend. The number one thing listed on the Bill of Rights is freedom of speech. The words we speak have the power of life and death. So choose wisely, because mentorship is conservation. So here at Soul Seekers, if you are new to this podcast or new to everything that we do, our vision and mission is I'm going to share with you here. So our vision here is to see hunting and the hunting lifestyle be accepted and promoted by the majority of Americans in such that ballot box biology never succeeds, and to raise the public opinion and approval ratings across the U.S. Now, I am an American, so we go through the democratic process, we vote, we have initiatives, we have all this process. So if you're listening to this episode not in America, think about how you can impact and take a stand for hunting and hunting rights in your country. So that's the vision. Our mission here is, as hunters, is to inspire others as a collective effort to promote, grow, and defend hunting, while ensuring that our hunting heritage is protected against any and all attacks that wish to infringe upon our right. By learning how to talk about hunting, we solidify our position as advocates and defenders of what we love. Ensuring the position, impact, and promotion of the hunting lifestyle. Ensuring the positive impact and promotion of the hunting lifestyle. Because it's not just a hobby. Maybe for some of you it is. But really what it comes down to, it is a lifestyle. The minute you choose to provide food for yourself and your family, your community, the minute that you choose into being a participant in nature and not just an observer of nature, is the minute that you have taken upon yourself a lifestyle in which you need to be able to speak about and speak about in a positive manner. So the first thing I just want to think of and ask you, before we, and once again, this is meant to be a seminar, so I'm going to pose some questions for you to think about. So before I dive in and talk about hunting, I want you to talk about yourselves, right? We need to be able to talk about ourselves, because I can give you all the information and the statistics and scientific data, bam, bam, bam. But what really makes a difference is when we talk about a heart. When we talk about the transformative power and the transformative experiences we've had in our lives, that is anecdotal evidence, and that really connects. We are not only trying and doing our best to connect with the mind and through reason, we also need to make sure we connect with the heart through passion, through emotion. So the question is why are you here? Why, if you were in this room as a listening to a seminar about how to talk about hunting and why it's important, why would you be here? Why are you listening? Are you interested in picking up statistics that you can share? Are you intrigued as to why it's even important to talk about hunting? Right? So what do you want to accomplish by attending, by listening to this episode, listening to this podcast? What is your goal? Everything needs to begin with the end in mind, right? I choose to be a hunter. Why? Because I want food. I'm already beginning with the end in mind of killing that deer, harvesting that animal, taking that wildlife off the landscape and bringing it home and putting it on my dinner table for my family to share. You have to begin with the end in mind. That is a critical part of leadership. And if you are like, well, I'm not really a leader, you need to start looking at yourself in the mirror, because everyone has influence and leaders have influence. So why is learning how to talk about hunting important? When you become a hunter, you automatically become an ambassador for hunting. Oh, but Johnny, I'm just a hunter on the weekends, or oh, I only deer hunt, I don't predator hunt, or oh, I'm only a duck hunter. Oh, I'm only an archery hunter. No. Stop putting yourself in these boxes. Understand that when you buy your hunting license, you are automatically an ambassador for hunting. Automatically. And so from that point, you are now set apart from the general population of non-hunters or anti-hunters. And it is your job to be able to speak about it. If you love hunting, if you want it to last for generations to come, then you need to be able to inspire people to connect with the heart, connect with the mind. Because wherever we go in this world, people are always watching. How's Johnny going to react? How's Johnny going to handle this situation? What's he going to do? And even when you think no one is watching, people still are. And this podcast is a perfect example because there are times where I've gotten messages from people and I'm like blown away by what they say in response to an episode or the mission or what we're doing here at Soul Seekers. So remember that when you become a hunter, you automatically become an ambassador for hunting. And an ambassador is a leader. And good leaders have strong influence. Bad leaders have weak influence. So a good leader, and if you are an adult or a kid or college age, listen to this episode. Think about times in which you've experienced leaders in your life. Have they been good? Did they influence you? How did they influence you? Did they influence you through their actions? Through their words? Did they inspire you? Did they speak words that gave life to you? That gave hope? Right? So how we speak is so important. It says in the Bible that out of the tongue has the ability to give life or death. I teach in my health classes that you want to surround yourself with people that are going to build you up, not tear you down. Well, as we as hunters go out into society, out into the public, we are constantly surrounded by people that aren't hunters. And we get to begin with the end in mind and think about how you want to leave a legacy and impact in this world. Are you going to be a shining light and you're going to show up and you're going to inspire and lead and take hold of your future and the things that you want to make sure that last? Or are you just going to go along to get along? Oh, I don't know. Just, hey, whatever's easy, man. Whatever's easy. Think back on your life. Was growth ever accomplished through taking the easy way? Avoiding conflict does not promote growth, does not sharpen your edge. So being able to address conflict, and on this episode, we're talking about hunting, but you could use this for life, right? Address conflict. Have clearing conversations. Don't be afraid. Be a courageous leader. Have strong influence. Because leadership is an investment into people. And when we invest into people, we get the greatest return. And that is why our mission statement here is mentorship is conservation. If you want hunting to last for generations to come, then you got to invest into the hearts and lives of other people. Because when we invest into people, we get the greatest return. You want hunting to last? Invest into people. Like, yes, conservation, and I've had this debate with multiple people throughout my last 10 years of becoming a hunter. Yes, the Pittman-Robertson Act, and we're going to talk about this here in a little bit, is extremely important. And all our money that goes into hunting licenses and fishing rods and ammo purchases and all this goes back into conservation. That's huge. That's important. That's critical. But when we invest into people, we get the greatest return. Because leadership is influence, and good leaders have strong influence. So if you want to see hunting last for generations to come, you need to be a good leader in your community. Maybe your community is just your neighborhood. Maybe your community is the family members in which you interact with. You know, Christmas is coming up. Are you going to be around a bunch of people that maybe know you're a hunter, but you've never talked about why hunting is so important? It's a great opportunity to. Because good leaders have strong influence. So my question to you is, what is your leadership legacy? Oh, but Johnny, I'm not a manager. I'm not a boss. You are a leader in your own right, whether you want to call yourself a leader or not. And maybe you don't act like a leader. Maybe this is your call to action to be like, all right, it's time to step my game up. Because how can you ever lead anyone else if you can't lead yourself? So my question is, what is your leadership legacy? What are you leaving for the next generation? What are you leaving behind? And I'm not talking about once you're dead, which is great. You know, there's the old proverb that a wise man plants a tree that he'll never sit in the shade of. Shifting gears, I want to tell you that no one is coming to save us. No one. Approval of hunting is highest in the Midwest and lowest in the Northeast, with substantial differences in approval of demographic group. So there is statistically about a 73 to 80% over the span of 1995 to 2019 of demographics that approve of legal hunting. Now, I want to explain something, that a poacher is not a legal hunter. So anytime someone poaches, they automatically group and lump poachers in as hunters. We need to be able to articulate the fact that those are different. A poacher is a criminal doing a criminal activity, no different than holding up your local convenience store. So when people view hunting as a legal hunting, they approve of it. But there's still that 22 to 13% of Americans that disapprove of legal hunting. Those would be your anti-hunters. So one of the things you need to understand is that out of sight, out of mind. The further removed someone is from hunting, the less attention is given. So, since 1991, the number of hunters has gone from 14 million and fluctuated down all the way to 12.5 million in 2006, up to 13.7 million, and down to 11.5 million in 2016. So, the further away removed from hunting, the less attention it's given. This is why, when you say, why is talking about hunting important? Because when people are removed from it, the less attention that's given. And if we are trying to stop ballot box biology in America, then we have to put the spotlight on hunting all the time. All the time. Well, geez, Johnny, it seems like that's all you ever want to talk about. Yeah, because that's my lifestyle. That is what I do. That is permeating throughout who I am. I don't wrap up my entire identity in it, right? I'm still a husband, a father, a leader, and I am a hunter. I'm a provider. The part of being a provider. So national hunting participation since 1991 has gone from 7.4 million down to 2016 to 4.5 million. So, number of hunters and the number of hunting participants, right? There's a lot of people that will say, I'm a hunter, but they're not actively hunting year in and year out. So we need to be aware of the out of sight, out of mind. We have to continually talk about it all the time. When you show up to a social event, to work, people know that you're a hunter. Why? Because you talk about it. And don't be afraid to talk about it in hostile environments. My first couple years of being a hunter, I was fortunate and blessed enough to shoot a beautiful, beautiful elk in the state of Washington. Well, at my work, being a school teacher, my department decided we were going to provide lunch for the staff. And I was like, oh, let's have a taco bar. That sounds great. Easy. Just grill up a bunch of ground meat, make taco seasoning, bada bing, bada boom, taco bar. I'll provide the meat. I got a lot of meat, a lot of ground, all this elk. I'd love to share it because us as hunters, we love to share. A lot of people might not ever have heard of this company if you're not from the Northwest, but there's a tire company called Les Schwab. Well, Les Schwab's biggest sell of the year is when they sell tires and give away beef. Why? Because when you feed people, you are giving them life. You are giving them life. You're providing them with the ability to survive and thrive. And so for us as hunters to share what we have and share what we've taken, it is a way for us to bless others. And we got to be able to remember that and talk about that. Well, I had major pushback from my coworkers, and they ended up labeling elk meat. And then another coworker didn't like the fact that I brought elk meat. So they brought turkey meat, ground turkey tacos. And I must have made like 14 pounds of ground elk, and it barely got touched because the majority of people at the building that I worked at were scared of wild game. They didn't know how to feel about it. And they're like, oh, I don't know. And I was so naive and ignorant to the fact that we as hunters need to defend hunting that I didn't even address it the way I should have. Now, I don't live with regret because I just didn't know. I didn't understand that hunting is constantly under attack. I just had this call upon my soul to go out and live wild, to provide, to challenge my courage, my grit, my determination. And these are the things that we need to keep in mind. Now, there's been different motivations for hunting throughout the years. So there's And those of you who are listening to this, I have graphics to go along that you're not going to be able to see. So I'm going to do my best to describe, but there are four main motivations that are listed. And then one is a fifth column, but it was only included in the surveys in 2013 and 2017. So this survey started in 1980, and I have data from 1980, 1995, 2003, 2006, 2013, and 2017. Now, out of all hunters who responded to this, in 1980, 9% of hunters said that 9% of hunters said they hunted to be with family and friends. Only 9%. In 2013, that percentage grew tremendously, over doubled, and was at 21% of hunters said they specifically hunted, they had motivation to hunt, to be with family and friends. The next category was, in 1980, 10% of hunters were motivated to hunt to be close to nature. That significantly jumped all the way up to the 21% in the 90s and then dropped back down to that to 9%, 11% 2013 to 2017. So it's very, very interesting. There's a huge push in the 90s and early 2000s that a lot of people chose to hunt to get close to nature. Now, this one is huge. This is, in 1980, 37% of hunters responded that they choose, their motivation for hunting is for the sport or recreation. That is one that has significantly dropped year after year to now only 27% of hunters are motivated for the sport or recreation. The flip side of that is that as close to nature was a big part in the 90s and early 2000s, that significantly dropped when it comes to this next category. So in 1980, 43% of Americans said that they were motivated to hunt for meat. That dropped to 25% in 95, 16% in 2003, 16% in 2006, but then it skyrocketed back up to 35 and then 39% in 2013 and 17. And then on this survey, 1%, and this was only given as an answer in 2013 and 17, only 1% of hunters are motivated for quote-unquote a trophy. 1%. Outliers. So when people talk about trophy hunting, we need to be able to explain to them logically that the meat is the trophy. You always hear, oh, you can't eat the antlers. Can't eat the antlers. You're right. They look great on my wall, and we get to honor that animal by continuing on its legacy in life by hanging that shoulder mount on the wall or that skull, right? There are other religions and other cultures that believe we die multiple deaths. The first death is when you physically die. The second death is when your name is no longer spoken or remembered. So we honor these lives by putting that shoulder mount on our wall for us to look back at for years and years and years. And these are the things that we need to remember about when it comes to talking about hunting. So it says in the Bible, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, that a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And we need to remember that when it comes to talking about hunting, first, it's important to be a credible source. Have credibility with people. Hold yourself in high regard, in a respectful manner. Know what you're talking about and deliver well. Have credibility. Don't be a liar. Don't be a thief. Don't be a cheat. Don't be a dishonest human being. That steals credibility and it hurts all of us. As a hunter, we need to have credibility, number one. Number two, talk about emotion, the emotion of it. Don't just be this melancholy human being that's like, yeah, shot my deer, smoked him, put him in the freezer, yep. Talk about it with emotion. And then the third is logic. Because a cord of three strands is not easily broken. So deliver credibility. Stand in credibility. Speak with emotion. Speak with logic. Credibility, and what I always talk about on this podcast, is inspired people inspire people. Inspired people inspire people. So when it comes to credibility, how you show up each and every day in your job, in your life, makes a difference. The emotion of how you talk about things makes a difference. And the logic of it needs to also be like, wow, that makes sense. That's logical. Here at Soul Seekers, we build our credibility through six brand pillars. Number one is mentorship. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another, embodies the concept of mentorship, an essential for growth and success in all aspects of life. Mentorship enables those who have mastered skills and those working towards mastery to share their foundation of knowledge, to reach the heart of others, leading to hunter recruitment, retention, and reactivation. Thus, such an investment of love and time impacts the community we serve to create a legacy for generations to follow, as you can never outgive good. That's credibility, mentorship. Number two is community. As social creatures by nature, we crave to be in connection with others. We understand and respect the power of order and hierarchy, while at the same time humbly removing the ego and meeting people where they are. Soul Seekers is a collaborative network brought together by a common bond and love of hunting. In order to achieve and succeed, we seek to build and foster a culture of support for all. Now, when it comes to logical versus emotional, right? A lot of people will say the divide between conservatives and liberals is liberals vote off of emotion, conservatives vote off of logic. But regardless of what it is, we're not talking about party lines. We're talking about preserving hunting and making sure it lasts for generations to come. Because by learning to talk about hunting, we solidify our position as advocates and defenders of what we love, ensuring the positive impact and promotion of the hunting lifestyle. So when we speak, we need to be able to speak both logically and emotionally. But let me explain a couple things. Logical is to see hunting and the hunting lifestyle be accepted and promoted by the majority of Americans in such that ballot box biology never succeeds, and to raise the public opinion and approval ratings across the U.S. Emotionally, we need to understand that emotions are simply feedback or information. They are a response to emotions, a function that is to create instant chemical communication about our own experience to ourselves and to those around us, not to act, but to inform us of our inner world. So here at Soul Seekers, we build upon emotion with anecdotal evidence to connect with the heart. Anecdotal evidence. Anecdotal means you lived it. You know it because you lived it. You know it because you saw it with your own eyes. Not, oh, I heard it down the line. No, I lived it, I experienced it. And that is a part of self-discovery. At Soul Seekers, we believe in the healing power of nature and what nature provides. By removing ourselves from the constant buzz of society and the algorithms of a digital world, we provide ourselves the ability to recharge and reflect. Self-discovery is a byproduct that stems from internally reflecting while in nature and leads to an outward correction of character and a deeper sense of meaning and love. That is emotionally based. Another one is natural connections. Society breeds a high level of insulation from the natural world, which creates a disconnect and lack of knowledge of the healing powers of nature. We know that everything stems from our Creator, and anything that we need can be found within the organic world. In order to improve our connectivity with nature, heal ourselves, and deepen our knowledge and understanding, an open mind is required to engage with the natural world. Now, when it comes to logical and emotional connection, we got to refer back to, if you've ever experienced or been taught this, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. See, we have this reptilian brain, and we need to be able to interact with it and get it to grasp concepts, and our experiences create our perspectives. So, one thing I want you to understand is that perception is not reality. Just because you have thoughts in your head does not mean they are real or that you have to listen to them. The majority of time when you are talking with somebody who is anti-hunting, they are angry. And anger covers hurt and or fear. They are hurt by something in their past, or they have fear of loss, fear of scarcity, right? Research shows our beliefs about the world are formed through experiences from the ages of 2 to 6 years old. Those experiences create perspectives, not opinions, experiences. And those experiences are filtered through our perception of the world. Those perceptions create thoughts. Those thoughts lead to feelings. Feelings lead to actions. And actions have consequences. Consequences are neither negative nor positive. They are simply feedback to actions or words spoken. They are a result or a response of something which leads back to the loop. After consequences, that leads you through experiences, which is filtered through perception, which then it goes through thoughts, feelings, actions, consequences, and it starts all over again. So my job right here is to make sure that you understand that as an American, you need to exercise your First Amendment right. And that is the freedom of speech. And to understand speech and use words, the power of words, you need to understand definitions. And so when I talk about anecdotal experiences, if you don't understand what an anecdote is, that's a problem. So an anecdote is a brief, amusing, or interesting narrative that highlights a specific incident or experience. It often involves a personal or real-life story offering a glimpse into someone's character or a particular situation. Anecdotes are commonly used to entertain, illustrate a point, provide insight, relying on relatable details to engage the audience. We want to be able to engage with people who are non-hunters, who are anti-hunters. Because while they may find our anecdotes amusing or thought-provoking, anecdotes are succinct and focus on a single, memorable episode, making them effective tools for communication and storytelling in various contexts, such as conversation, writing, or public speaking. So my question to you is, what is an anecdote that you can share of how hunting impacted your heart, how hunting impacted your life, your family, or your future? And if you don't have a quick response to that, that is what you need to chew on. That's my call to action right here. What is an anecdote that you can share on how hunting has impacted your heart, life, family, or future? Going to the logic side, right? This is getting into the statistics, the logic. Traditionally, it takes a hunter to make a hunter, all right? So I am an outlier because I got into hunting on my own. I'm what's called an adult onset hunter. I was hunt curious, but traditionally it takes a hunter to make a hunter. My children are hunters now because their father is a hunter, passed down. Studies show that if a child shoots a BB gun by the age of 9 years old, they're more likely to return to an outdoor lifestyle. And that source is from Daisy BB Guns. Most hunters today are initiated into hunting as a child by a male family member, and hunters most commonly hunt big game like deer, followed by small game and migratory birds. $26.2 billion in the U.S. is what is put back into hunting through licenses, fees, excise taxes, and donations. That hunters contribute approximately $1.6 billion a year for conservation programs and efforts. So it takes a hunter traditionally to make a hunter. Your job is to make sure hunting lasts for generations to come. How do you do that? By making other hunters, by sharing your anecdotes, telling them how hunting has impacted your heart, life, family, or future. And then that's where the money comes from that gives back. Logically, we need to connect through words, facts, and history of conservation. Here at Soul Seekers, we're talking about it as primal adventure. Society has constantly influenced us to settle into a life of mundane boredom where we waste our lives away waiting for a concept of retirement or for the next entertaining moment to capture our attention. At Soul Seekers, we believe that life is now and that it is meant to be experienced rather than observed. By living an adventurous life, perspectives are established, ushering us towards a life of wisdom, understanding, and fulfillment. And then going into the next part is conservation, the last pillar. Conservation is more than just money spent on hunting tags and licenses. Conservation requires intentional effort towards ensuring that there are sustainable yields for the next generation. In order to promote the growth and longevity of hunting, we invest our time as well as our money to positively impact legislation and public opinion by hunters and non-hunters alike. By providing anecdotes for hunter recruitment, we convey the power in which hunting holds beyond the means to sustain life and provide food, thus impacting the Pittman-Robertson Act, legislation, and public opinion. So Americans care about wildlife but don't know much about it. A study that was done said public knowledge of fish and wildlife management was graded based on responses to 18 questions. And whose responsibility is it to share knowledge of wildlife and public lands? That's a question. Is it the public school's responsibility? Is it Cabela's, Shields, REI? Like, whose responsibility is it to share the knowledge of wildlife and public lands? Hunters, the users of that public land. So, 81%, if we were grading, 90 to 100 being an A, 80 to 89 being a B, and so on, 81% of people who are polled about wildlife that say they care about wildlife, 81% of them don't know anything about it. That's troubling. That should scare you, because that is a majority right there that will vote based off of their emotion and not logic. That is what happened in Colorado and why we overcame that, because we had such a public influence and money was injected into the actual defense of hunting publicly. Americans care about wildlife. They just don't know much about it. It's our job to talk about it. So in 1937, there was a Federal Aid in Wildlife Restoration Act. This is commonly known as the Pittman-Robertson Act. 81% of people don't know much about wildlife. And it's our job. It is our job. So as we go and we think about this, I'm going to leave you with this. Not everyone needs to hunt, but everyone needs to support hunting. I'm going to say that again. Not everyone needs to hunt, but everyone needs to support hunting. Three things, because a strand of three cords is not easily broken. Number one, credibility. You need to continue to be an upstanding, trustworthy individual of high character that knows the facts and truth about hunting. Number two, you need to use anecdotal evidence to convey care towards wildlife and universal values that resonate with non-hunters. Emotional. Use anecdotal evidence. Connect with the emotion. And number three, use the power of words and conservation facts to solidify why hunting is important and its positive impact on wildlife. The Pittman-Robertson Act. 26.2 billion dollars is brought in through the Pittman-Robertson Act every year. That's a lot of money. Could be even more. Know the facts, know the name of the act, know how we give back, but be able to connect through credibility, emotion, and logic. Remember that hunting has the power to transform lives through primal adventure, and that you can never outgive good, as mentorship is conservation. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you liked it, please leave a comment, leave a rating. Send me a message. Go to soulseekersnation.com, hit the contact us, send me a message on social media. I'd love to hear what you guys thought about this episode. Remember that we are all ambassadors for hunting, and that we need to be able to talk about it, and we also need to be able to talk about why it's important. If we want hunting to last for generations to come, then we got to invest in the hearts and lives of other people. Because good leaders have strong influence, and strong influence leaves a greater impact. And traditionally, it takes a hunter to make a hunter. You got this, everybody. You got this, Soul Seekers Nation. Thank you so much. Be blessed. I'm Johnny Mack. Freedom on, and stay soulful. If you enjoyed today's podcast and want to support the show, you can always like, share, subscribe, and leave a rating as it helps us share our mission of mentorship is conservation. Thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of Soul Seekers Nation as we transform lives through primal adventure.